We're reading from James chapter 2 and from verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful into the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. May the Lord bless that reading to us of his word. Tonight we're thinking about faith, and trust the Lord will open our hearts to understand his word and to demystify this business of faith. Because there's nothing mystical about faith. There's nothing mysterious about faith. There's nothing complicated about faith. There's nothing impossible about faith. There's nothing about faith that you can't possess. Faith is simple. Jesus said, only believe. Only believe. Faith is complicated when we introduce half a dozen other things as well. Faith is simple. Faith is only believing. And yet we don't find that Christians find it easy. They're like the disciples. And they say to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And Lord, why haven't we got this faith? And tonight we want to see that faith is simple faith. Faith is something which we possess. Faith is something which we can all use. Faith is something which we can put into operation now. Faith. There's nothing mystical. You haven't got to go on a 2-week fast and shut yourself away from society to get faith. That's not how you build up faith. You haven't got to do anything fantastic. You've got it. All you've got to do is use it. And that's what we are going to encourage ourselves in this evening in the scriptures. Using faith. The faith that God has given us. Because all that God has provided for us, whether we're thinking about salvation or righteousness or freedom from sin, freedom from the power of sin, guidance, provision, healing, day by day, living in the Lord and walking with him and talking with him, all is by faith. All is by faith. On the grounds of God's grace, God has freely provided, we enter into it by faith. We have access into God's grace, into all that grace has provided. And what has that grace provided for us? Everything. All things. We have access to it by faith. There's no other way. How many Christians, and ask yourself the question, rather than point at other people, and I'll ask myself the question too. How many Christians, believers, think that having been saved by faith, they have got to merit the rest from God by their own behaviour, as it were? They've got to merit everything else from God. And so I'm going to be a good boy from now on, and I'm going to do what I must do to earn God's favour. And we promise God that we're going to read our Bible, you know, 12 chapters a day, a whole book a day, for the next umpteen years, every day. And we promise God that we're going to pray for 2 hours every day. And we think that having done that, we're going to earn God's favour, earn God's grace. Now, people may not say that, but often that's how Christians think. That tomorrow, you know, so far they have not really been living as they should. They've not been living a victorious Christian life, but tomorrow they're going to turn over a new leaf, and because they're going to turn over a new leaf, God is going to bless them. But that's not right. That's works. That's earning by works. Access into God's grace is, and always has been, and always will be, by faith. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we've got that wonderful verse, and we'll carry reading through into verse 2. But it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access into God's grace by faith, and it's through Jesus Christ who enables us. It's by the faith of the Son of God. So let's get that right from the start, that it's by faith. Read Galatians. It's by faith. It's going on in the Spirit. It's not by works. It's not through the works of the flesh. Having begun in the Spirit, do we then go on to be justified by the flesh? No. Now, I haven't said this evening, and I have never said, don't read your Bible, don't pray. I have always said it's good to be regular in reading your Bible daily and praying daily, as often and as much as you can. But don't use that as a means of earning God's favour. We read the Bible daily. We meditate upon it. We pray because we delight to. That's the consequence of faith. Our access into these things is by faith. And don't ever go around thinking that tomorrow you're going to be a better person spiritually and therefore God will begin to bless you. God will bless you from this moment now if you respond in faith. Because you won't ever deserve anything from God. You won't ever earn anything from God. He's given it. It's by faith. Faith. Now you know the scripture, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So how can we please God? By promising God to turn over a new leaf tomorrow. How can we please God? By telling God, well, tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to witness to 10 people. And that makes me feel better so I can get into bed with an easy conscience. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is nothing you can do to please God. There's only one that's pleased God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And through faith in him, we have access into this grace wherein we stand, by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise his name. Romans 14 and verse 23 reminds us also that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now think about that believer. Think about that Christian. When you promise that tomorrow you're going to be a better person and you're going to approach it completely differently. If it's not of faith, it's sin. If it's not of faith, it's sin. We come by faith because everything else is of our own effort. Faith, therefore, is essential. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, what we are considering first of all this evening, that was just by way of introduction, what we are considering first of all this evening is this. That we should be showing faith, demonstrating faith. Faith is not some mystical theory. Faith isn't an idea. Faith isn't the power of positive thinking. That's rubbish. Now, I can remember somebody who used to come here that preached here that used to go on about the power of positive thinking. Used to listen to the tapes on positive thinking. And somehow or other he'd got his business tapes on positive thinking mixed up with Christian ideas on faith. And they're not right. Because faith isn't just a little theory up here. Faith isn't just a positive thought. That's human ability. That's human power. Faith is something which can be manifested, demonstrated, shown, seen by others. That's why we read in James chapter 2 tonight about a man being justified by works. Not justified before God by works, but justified in the eyes of others by his works. You see, we're justified in the eyes of God by faith. But how do you know that I'm justified before God? That's between me and God. You know by my works. And so Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so James is talking about justification before others. But it's also very important to realise what James was saying, because he was in fact saying that if you say you've got faith and it's just some wishy-washy belief idea, some believism idea, some little notion up here, and there's nothing that results from it, there are no works, there's no consequences, there's no demonstration of it, then it's dead. Not faith at all, really. Without works, he says, faith is dead. Just idle words. And how many people and how many times have I said, you said, I believe. But where were the results? Where was the evidence of it? Where was the demonstration of it? Were we prepared to put our necks on the line for what we believed? Were we prepared to step out for what we believed? You see, faith is obedient. In Romans chapter 16, Paul speaks about the obedience of faith being proclaimed to the nations, but there's an obedience of faith. Faith is obedience. Faith is obeying. So faith is not human reason. Faith is not human wisdom, human logic, human calculation. That's sight. Faith is obedience. Faith is doing what God says. In spite of what we may reason, in spite of what we may calculate, faith is obedience. The human mind would say, yes, but if I do that, all sorts of disastrous things will happen. But God says, you do that. And faith obeys. Do we have the obedience of faith? Faith will manifest itself in obedience. The world will say, you're foolish. Job's wife says to him, you're a fool. Curse God and die. But he didn't. He maintained his integrity. He had a faith in God. Though he slay me, yet I'll bless him and praise him. I'll not deny him. And the world says, you're fools. But faith is obedient. Faith is obedient. Faith acts. Faith does things. Faith moves out. And when I'm saying faith, I'm talking about people using faith as well. Faith acts. You see, it's not feelings. It's not emotion. It's not just an idle waiting to be moved. Some people say, well, I've prayed and that's it. I'm going to believe now. That's faith. That's not faith. Just stubbornness. It's pride. I have prayed. I am not going to be seen as one without faith. I have prayed and therefore God will do it and I am not going to do any more. Faith moves. Faith acts. Faith does. And if you've prayed once and nothing's happened and there's been no result, well, you pray again. And you keep praying until you pray in faith and stop being so stubborn. Pray in faith. Elijah prayed and he 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 prayed 7 times. And he did not stop until he saw, or until the servant saw, the cloud as big as a man's hand. Then he stopped. That's all he needed. Didn't need any more than that. There's going to be torrential rain. But he did not stop until he got the answer, until he got the assurance in his heart. And that's what we need to do. We'll come to that in a bit later on. We must pray through till we get that assurance of faith in our hearts. A full assurance of faith. Faith is not logic. Now, Torrey used to work on that basis of faith being logic, of the scriptures being logical. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? It's in his book about receiving the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, whatsoever things we ask, we receive of him. I'm going to ask God for his Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I've asked. The word says if I ask, he gives it to me. Therefore, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Nonsense. You've got to ask in faith. And faith will be evidenced by a demonstration. Show me your faith, says James, by your works. Do you think the disciples were satisfied with praying in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father? And they say, well, Lord, we prayed for the promise of the Father. Therefore, we must have it. You've given it to us. But they looked at themselves and their lives and said, but we haven't got it. Where's the evidence of it? And they prayed and they tarried in Jerusalem until they knew that they had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And when they received it, there was no doubt. It came. They received it. Faith acts. Faith moves. It's not just feelings. Some people just want a nice, you know, hair standing up on the back of the neck experience. And that's faith. Something emotional. Some people just want to sit around and wait until God moves them. That's not faith. Faith is actually moving out into what God says, taking the plunge, as we say, and leaving it all to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, you've got a whole catalogue of people who moved by faith. And what is characterised by them is that they didn't just say, "Oh Lord, I'll leave it up to you now." They got the word of God into their hearts, and by faith, they obeyed that word of God and they moved out on it. And you get people like Noah, who was moved by faith, and what did he do? He made a complete idiot of himself building a boat. And he spent years building a boat in the middle of nowhere. But he believed God. He didn't sit back and say, "Well, Lord, I believe that there's going to be a flood, but I'll leave it to you to save me when the day comes. Up to you, God, you do it your way." God had told him his way. And God said, "This is what I want you to do, build a boat." And Noah built a boat. Abraham, by faith, what did he do? He left the nice, secure routes and he moved out, nomadic life. "Where are you going, Abraham?" "Don't know. But I'm going. And I believe that God will lead me. I believe God will provide for me, by the way. I believe that God is in this." And Abraham moved. Rahab, we mentioned her tonight. Rahab, by faith. Didn't say, "Well, Lord, when the walls come tumbling down, you look after me and my family. I'm just trusting you, Lord." Magic feeling down the back of the spine. Ooh, isn't it nice? They told her what to do. She got the word of God. "You've got to put that scarlet cord in your window. We want to see that." She did it. Step out. There's a whole catalogue there in Hebrews 11. And every one of them, they moved out. They acted. They did. They lived the faith that they had. Faith is visible. It can be seen. They brought the paralysed man to Jesus. You can read it in three Gospels there. They brought the paralysed man to Jesus. You know, they tore off the tiles off the roof and let him down. And it says that when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. They were doing something which was going to get them into a lot of trouble. They were doing something which would make them look a right bunch of fools if nothing happened. But they moved out in faith. They stepped out and said, "Well, Lord, we believe this is your will. We believe that you are able. We're going to move out. We're going to trust you, Lord." Faith is visible. Jesus saw their faith. That faith is great faith. When we move out, the centurion came to Jesus. Not seen such great faith. No, not in all Israel. There was no doubt in the centurion's mind. He came to Jesus. And he was saying to Jesus, "No, you don't have to come to my house. It's not necessary. You've got the power. You've got the authority." He had great faith. The Syrophoenician woman came to him. And he says, "Woman, great is your faith." Why? Because she wouldn't let go. She would not be denied. Her actions were actions of faith. This is a faith to live by. Doesn't it say? It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, "The just shall live by his faith." That's quoted in the New Testament. Romans, Hebrews and Galatians, "The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And by faith the just shall live." And by faith we live. And that faith should be visible. That faith should be visible. That faith should be demonstrated in our trust of him. Not building up things for ourselves to rely on, to fall back on, but trusting him. Trusting him. Is that how our lives are? Trusting Jesus. That is all. Or have we got so many other things to fall back on? We walk by faith, not by sight. That faith will be resulting in a marvellous peace in our hearts, peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that when we feel tempted to squeal out that things aren't going according to plan. Whose plans? Our plans or his? His plans are perfect. We have peace with God. Faith then is something which can be demonstrated, can be shown. Faith is acting. That's why tonight you don't need any sort of mystical experience to somehow magic faith within you. Because it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's an obedience. It's an action. And all you need to do is to know God's word and act upon it and respond to it. Stake your life on it. Put your neck on the line. "Lord, you've said it. I believe it. Do it." See, the second thing is this, that when we step out like that in faith, if we've got God's word in our hearts, we will find that it's his faith and not our faith. That's another problem with this trying to build up our faith. This power of positive thinking idea. What we're building up is our faith. human faith. And human faith is not the faith that gets us access into the grace of God. Human faith fails. We need to get a right sight so that our faith is his faith. Our faith is defective because it's governed by human wisdom. It's governed by human reason. And it's put to flight whenever difficulties crop up. And if that's what happens to your faith, whenever there are difficulties that crop up, your faith disappears. That's because it was human faith. It was your faith. It was your power of positive thinking. It believes whilst it can see. But the moment it can't see what's ahead, it disappears. It squeals out. We need his faith. This is the principle in Ephesians chapter 2. And if it's about our salvation, then it is a principle which goes through the whole of our salvation. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it says, you know the words, by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? By grace are you saved through faith. That, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not human faith, it is the gift of God. It's God's gift. Romans 12:3 speaks about God dealing to every man the measure of faith. Something which we could all use. But it's God's faith that's important. It's the gift of God, and what God gives is divine. What God gives has got God's quality. And if God gives you faith, the faith that he gives is the quality of his faith. Jesus said in Mark 11 and verse 22, he said, have the faith of God. Or if you like the authorized version, have faith in God, but it's not quite the same. Have the faith of God. Receive that faith. That faith will never fail you. That faith will never let you down. Galatians chapter 2 speaks about the faith of the Son of God. This is Paul's testimony. Is it the faith that we have? Is it the faith that we live by? Or are we trying to live by our faith? Our attempts to try to believe. Oh Lord, I'm trying to believe that that's true. I'm trying to believe that you will heal me. I'm trying to believe that you will provide for my need. I'm really trying. God's faith never tries. It does. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Let him live in you. Let him live out his life through you. Let him live that life of faith through you. You live by the faith of the Son of God. Chapter 3 and verse 11. He says the just shall live by faith. That's one of the occurrences there. Now we could refer to other verses in the scripture which speak about the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In Timothy and Philippians. But that's the faith we need. His faith. Because his faith never fails. We've got to pray through, you see. We've got to get that right sight that we might make his faith our aim. And this was an old concept years ago. When saints prayed, they talked about praying through. We're in a battle. We've got to pray through. Not just pray. Worse still, not just say prayers. But we've got to pray through. We've got to pray through, as it were, to the heavenlies. Because that's where this marvellous faith, the faith of the Son of God is. We've got to pray through to the heavenlies. Without it, it is impossible to please God. We've got to get that assurance in our hearts. And we'll know that assurance. Pray through. Not just saying prayers. Not just praying. But praying through. So that we have a full assurance of faith and we will know that it's his faith in operation. I remember when Penny was in hospital and I prayed. And I prayed until I got an assurance in my heart. And from that moment on, things were okay. And the next day or a day or two later, I can't remember how long it was, she said, the doctor came to see me. He arranged for more x-rays because something was different. Pomfret had gone. I remember when Sue Reynolds' little baby was in hospital, just a little baby, 8 months old, I think she was at the time, something like that. And she was in the intensive care unit in Southend Hospital. And they didn't really give her much hope of surviving because of her medical muck-up, as usual. They didn't give her much chance of surviving. And it could have gone either way. I remember praying in there. And on this particular evening, when it was very dicey, praying and praying and praying, and I got an assurance that it was okay. And I wrote the time on the calendar. It was one of those tear-off calendars. I wrote the time on the calendar, and the actual text also was significant. I can't remember what it was now, but the text was significant. And at 8 o'clock, about 5 minutes later, the telephone went, Sue rang up, said, it's okay. Things have just taken a turn for the better. And from that time on, she began to improve. I gave Sue the tear-off slip afterwards, with 8 o'clock written on it, because that was the assurance of faith. You know, you pray in faith. You pray, Lord, this is your word. Lord, this is your word. But you come to a point where you get an assurance of faith in your heart. It's his faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. And we move on that faith. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter, completer of our faith. And it's looking to him. We've got to pray through to the heavenlies. Pray through. Because he's the author. He's the perfecter, completer, the finisher of our faith. And it's that faith we need. This is pure faith. Not faith which melts away when difficulties arise. This is pure faith. Not artificial. Not make-believe. You see, I've experienced, and let's talk from personal experience, I've experienced make-believe faith, my facade of faith, because I want people to think I've got faith. But if it's only my faith, human faith, it's no good. We need his faith. There's no boasting when it's his faith. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and chapter 1 and verse 5. And he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned. It's not artificial. It's not make-believe. It's not something you've manufactured. It's real. It's the real stuff. It's the real McCoy. The unfeigned faith. What sort of faith have we got? What sort of faith have you got? Is it this unfeigned faith? Real, genuine, his faith. You read the Bible? Of course you do. You read about what happened in the New Testament? Of course you do. And then you say, like many people say, why does it happen today? Of course it does. And you look at the faith of Peter and James and John. And you look at what happened. And you see the faith of Paul. And we find Peter writing to us in the New Testament. In 2 Peter 1, if we read the first few verses. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. What have we got? Like precious faith. The same faith that they had, we have got. Precious faith, because it's his faith. But we've got it. Praise the Lord. Like precious faith. Wonderful, you see. Like precious faith. Faith unfeigned. And this faith will be tried and tested. Oh, yes, it will. Your faith will vanish away. When you've gone through trials and testings and nothing has happened and your faith has just melted away, that's because it wasn't the real stuff. It was artificial. It was yours. But this faith, which is his faith, the faith of the Son of God, it will never melt away. It is like pure gold. And when it is tried, it says in 1 Peter this time, chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9, it says that when this faith is tried, what's going to happen to it? It will come forth as pure gold. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. It will never, never disappear. What did Jesus say? He said to Peter, he says, I have prayed for you. He said to the disciples, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. praise the name of the Lord. And when we have that faith, with the guarantee of heaven behind it, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. It will not fail. His faith. Now I just want to say something about nurturing faith, which is right hearing. Looking unto Jesus is the right sight. Getting your eyes on him. Looking to the right place for our faith. But what about nurturing faith? That's right hearing. That's how we nurture our faith. We need to be fed. We need to be fed. And we need to grow in faith. Romans 10, 17, again, these verses are verses that you know, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's right. So as we read God's word, we're getting God's will into our hearts. When we get God's will and God's promises, there will be the faith to believe those promises. God gives faith. With his word comes God's faith to believe it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's what we need. And that's important. Because our faith, human faith, is no good. Faith that stands in the wisdom of men is no good. We need the faith that stands in the power of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so he came to them proclaiming, not words of man's wisdom, but he came proclaiming the word of God in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that their faith should stand in the power of God. When does faith fail? When it stands in human wisdom. When does it stand? When it's in the power of God. How do we get it? By hearing the word of God. By hearing. That's how we nurture it all the time. Jesus, several times in the Gospels, reprimanded the disciples for being people of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why were they people of little faith? Because they had no understanding of the word of God. Later on in Luke 24, we find that Jesus opened their understanding so that they should understand the word of God. And then they became men and women of faith, and their faith grew. But when they had little understanding of that word, they were men and women of little faith. But they took what they could. When Jesus sent them forth, he gave them authority. So he gave them his word. And he said, now you go out and you heal the sick and you raise the dead and you cleanse the lepers and so on. And they got his word in their hearts and they went out and they did just that. There's faith in action. They got a word. Now, what would you say to that? Go on, Jeff. Go out and raise the dead. You say, no way. I'm not going to make a fool of myself. But you see, they got the word, and they acted upon it, and they went out. And they were men of faith with the word that they received. But they needed to keep on feeding on that word, and eventually the time came when they could feed on that word, when he opened their understanding. And Jesus reprimanded them, that you of little faith. When they were on the lake, and there's that massive storm, and they said, we perish. He said, little faith, ye of little faith, where is your faith? And when they brought that child, he says, you couldn't cast it out. Why? Because of your unbelief. And when he was talking to them in the Sermon on the Mount, and I believe that was to disciples, not just to the general multitude, but to the disciples, he spoke about God's provision. Now he'll provide you with food. He'll provide you with clothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he's right, all these things will be added unto you. He says, O ye of little faith, if he clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not clothe you and provide all your needs, O ye of little faith? And with his teaching, when he spoke to them about the leaven of the Pharisees and so on, and they misunderstood him and they thought he was talking about not taking sufficient bread, he said, O ye of little faith. They couldn't even understand his teaching and his doctrine because they were not feeding on the word. They were getting some, but they weren't feeding as they should have been. Little faith, you see. Now God wants us to nurture faith. He wants us to feed on his word. He wants us to be hearers of the word and doers of the word. We're nurturing faith. So that we shall know God and we shall do his will. But we must know God not by our feelings. We must know God by his word. If we know God by his words, our whole being will be affected. Feelings as well. But we shouldn't be after knowing God simply by feelings. They're the sort of people that trek around to find the most exciting meeting for the weekend. But we want to know God by His Word. And we must always operate on the line of His will. We must desire God with our entire being. It strikes me that we can so often be the centre of our own existence. We can be the centre of our existence. And we can want the faith, or we can want faith simply to get God to do things for us. Oh, it's a common attitude. People want faith to get God to do things for them. Or so that they can boast to others how spiritual they are. But God must be the centre. And it must be His faith in operation. We always must die. Paul said, I die daily. It's the faith of the Son of God that I live by. We must know His Word. We must know God's Word. We must get this right idea about faith. It's not going to get God to do things for us. It's so that God can get us to do things. So that God can work through us in this world. His will may be done. And you know, faith does grow. The disciples said, increase our faith. Well, faith does grow. Jude spoke about building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Faith does grow as we feed upon His Word, as we are nourished upon His Word. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, you know, and in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. Now, isn't that something? That your faith should grow exceedingly. Now, there's the right hearing. But there's also got to be the right response. We've got to know His will. We've got to act upon His will, believing that He is able, nothing doubting, and nothing will be impossible. That's where human faith goes wrong, isn't it? Human faith goes wrong on this point, that I actually don't believe that all things are possible. Do you? Humanly speaking. Do you believe that all things are possible? Humanly speaking? Go on, go outside and command Gun Hill to disappear in the Thames estuary. That's what Jesus said. Say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast in the sea, and it will obey you. I don't believe it, humanly speaking. But Jesus said, only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. You can say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. I don't know of anybody, ever, in the Bible or elsewhere, that has done that. But Jesus was saying it's possible to faith. What faith do we need? His faith. What is faith? It's working and operating on the line of the will of God. And if it was God's will that that hill should be plucked up and cast into the sea, you could move out there and command it to go and it would go. This is where we must be careful. We must be operating in God's will. And if you could operate on the line of faith, you wouldn't be able to go into Southend General Hospital and command everybody in every bed to get up and walk and be healed. It's according to the will of God. Jesus didn't do that either. He went to the pool of Bethesda, which was packed with sick people. But he said to one man, take up your bed and walk. It's moving in the will of God. Nothing is impossible to faith, but we've got to move in God's will. We've got to move in His power. He's got to be moving in His faith. Now, of course, you can look at the mountains and say, well, Jesus meant mountains of circumstances and mountains of experience, of difficulties and mountains of problems. And you can say to them, get out of it and they'll go. All the problems will go. And the mountain. But that's not what he was saying. That's not the context in which he was speaking. I mean, he just cursed a fig tree and there it was. And it was dry, withered from the roots up. And they were amazed. And they said, that's nothing. You could say to this mountain, be plucked up. And he was talking about physically doing it. It's possible. Nothing is impossible to faith. But we've got to see, it's His faith, not ours. It's His faith. There must be that right response, and we've got to know the will of God and move on that will. Move out in it. It gets rid of all our pride. Because as a proud person, I don't want to do anything that might make me look silly. But you see, if I were to go out there and there were a dead person on the just been knocked down, and God said, you tell that person to get up and walk, that person would stay there until I said, get up and walk. Now, Smith Wigglesworth did this. I know I don't like to go too much into the past about what people used to do. And there was a car accident, somebody got knocked down. And he ministered that by the paper. There are crowds of people around. Now you'd think, oh no, not with all these people here, you know. make me look a fool, you know, if nothing happens. But you see, he knew the will of God. He knew the voice of God. He knew the commandment of God, saying, you do that in my name, moving in the will of God. There must be the right response, the obedience of faith. Let's be men and women full of faith. It said of Stephen in the New Testament that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And as we become full of the Holy Spirit, and as we are daily full of the Holy Spirit, we too will be full of faith. We're feeding on his word. We're looking to Jesus. We're full of the Holy Spirit. We'll be full of faith. Nothing shall be impossible to you. You'll be able to move in all of God's will. And all of God's will be fulfilled as you move in that will. Be hearers of the word, but be doers of it also. Jesus told a parable of two houses. And the house that was built on the sand, he said, this is like somebody who hears my words and that's it. Hearing the word is not enough. We've got to be hearers and doers of the word. And the person whose house was built on the rock, this is like someone who hears my words and he does them. There's the obedience of faith. We need a childlike reliance on the word of God, on his will, on his promises. Romans chapter 4 records of Abraham that he staggered not at the promises of God. I stagger. Don't you stagger at the thought of saying unto this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea? What? Why did Abraham stagger? Because God said to him, 99 years of age, this time next year your wife Sarah is going to have a child. 91 years of age she was. Wouldn't you stagger? There's nobody here that age. So I can't insult anybody, can I? There's nobody here of that age. But if you were 91, ladies, and your husband 99, and the Lord said, this time next year you're going to have a baby, wouldn't you rather have a chuckle? Well, Sarah did. Sarah laughed. Impossible. Ridiculous. But it says of Abraham that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Because God said it, he believed it. And that's the sort of faith we're talking about. Human faith says, go away. Pull the other leg. You're having a laugh, doesn't it? But God says all things are possible. Whether we're talking about healing, whether we're talking about our spiritual growth, whether we're talking about our communion and fellowship with God and our enjoyment of that fellowship with him, whether we're talking about provision for our daily needs, when things seem to be impossible, God says, it's possible. If we believe him and trust him. Nothing is too difficult for him. Let's forsake our faith, because, as I say, it staggers. Our faith says, that's not possible. But God's faith goes beyond that. God's faith is infinite. It says, it's possible! All things are possible to him who can, on Jesus' name, believe. Let's be men and women of faith. Let's see this, not just up here, reason and intellect. It's not just feelings and, oh, wasn't that nice? I feel full of faith now. Yeah, I feel that something could happen now. People have got to get into a sort of emotional state to think I could believe it's possible now. I feel, you know, all tingly all over. No, it's nothing to do with emotions or thoughts or reason. Faith is receiving God's word, God's will, and acting upon it. And he will not let us down. Let's know his will, and let's act on it. Let's do what he says, basically. Let's do what he says. And he's not the sort of person to see you walk out on the ledge, and you turn around and he's gone, and left you alone. He's there with us all the time to uphold his word. Amen. Praise the Lord.